We're going to center in on James for a little while. So if you, in the back of your bulletin, again, place to write down any messages or notes. And for those of you joining online as well, we thank God for you. Hope that you'll participate with us and just ask the Lord to speak to you today by His Spirit through His Word. And if you have your Bible, would you join me in the New Testament book of James, chapter 1? James, chapter 1. James was one of Jesus' half-brothers. They had the same mom. He had at least four and at least two sisters. We don't know their names. He may have had more. Scripture speaks of them in the Gospels in the plural. So James, chapter 1. And really want to center on one verse, but we'll look at a few. But let me give you that one verse. It'll be James chapter 1 and verse 25. And once you get your hands free, or if you can still maneuver and make this confession, I'd like to ask you to join me as we make this confession together. The words are on the screen. Invite those of you online to join us as well. So if you're ready, would you make this confession with me? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. May it be so. Amen. James 1:25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, that's speaking of God's word, I'll show you in a moment, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So this morning, if you will allow me, I made a beatitude. But it wasn't my idea. It comes from this scripture. The beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit and so forth, that Jesus gave us in Matthew. Today, this beatitude is blessed are the word doers. Blessed are the word doers. Because this scripture assures us of that. If we continue in the word, not just hearing it, forgetting it, but if we actually live it out, the scripture in that verse says that we will be blessed in what we do. So I'm just thankful this morning that God wants to bless us. He's a good father. Do you know that the very first act recorded after God created the first couple was to bless them? He blessed them. And even though, of course, they broke his commandments, sin entered into the human heart and the human family and even marred creation. We don't see, as beautiful as many of the places on earth are, we don't see this world and all of creation in the full beauty of which God originally designed it. But it's coming back. There is a new creation. But I'm just thankful that even though sin separated us from this holy God and marred creation, God still made a way to bless us. And it's through obedience to his word. So blessed are the word doers. Let me give you just real quick definition of blessing, because blessed, we can think of all kind of, I guess, definitions and images, thoughts will come to mind when you say, well, do you want to be blessed? Well, I mean, who doesn't? But what does that mean? Does that mean everything in life goes my way? Or, well, if you're a Christian and you've been one for any length of time, not really. But what blessed means, and it's the same word Jesus used there in his Beatitudes, is to receive God's favor. It's receiving God's favor. So that's what it means to be blessed. To be blessed then means I am walking and I'm receiving God's favor. And the way that I live in that lifestyle is to do what he tells me in his word. So blessed are the word doers, receiving God's favor. And then the second definition is actually the word happy. But it explains what happy means, because feelings come and go. But happy, that word means feelings associated with receiving God's favor. So it's receiving God's favor, and then any feelings that we have that are associated with that, with God's favor, that's what it means to be blessed. So I'm thankful this morning that God wants to bless us. And that scripture, I want to give a little context to it. So if you drop back to verse 17 with me, James chapter 1, verse 17 says this, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." That means God is not wishy-washy. He's not up one day and down the next. He's not subject to those type of changes. He's a rock. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why we can count on him. He's faithful. But if it's a good gift and a perfect gift, we know where it comes from, all right? It comes from a Father in heaven. Then he goes on in verse 18, "Of his own will," of God's own will, "he brought us forth." That phrase, "brought us forth," speaks of a birth. It's new life. So it was God's heart and God's will to bring us forth to new life by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Those who were first followers of Jesus were like the first part of the harvest. But even to this day, 2,000 years later, we're in that harvest that's continuing to grow. They were the first fruits, and in a sense, we all are first fruits as brothers and sisters in Christ, sons and daughters of God. And then ultimately, one day, all of creation will be redeemed and restored. So to be blessed then, part of that is to receive this, what he says, this bring forth to new life by the word of truth. I always want to stress the gospel means good news. But, and I even wrote it in the devotional, in my opinion and perspective, if we don't know the bad news, we don't really appreciate the good news. The bad news is that God is holy and we have sinned. And it's not just that we did something wrong, sin is in our heart. And that's why we do some of the stuff we do, is because we have that tendency towards sin. Sin separates us from God now and forever, and there's nothing on our end. We don't bring anything to the table. We have no bargaining chips. When the Bible, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," that means paupers. I'm not bringing a can of beans. I'm not bringing a second suit of clothes. I have absolutely nothing, and I'm simply coming to him as I am, because he invited me. And so even though the penalty for our sin is death, separation from God, Jesus was willing, because God loved us so much. This is the good news, that he willingly died in our place. He took our judgment. He literally experienced that separation from God that is really the experience of hell. And he suffered the wrath of God against our sin so that the price was paid in full. And when he said, "It is finished," it was finished on the cross. And there's nothing anyone can do to add anything to it. When you do it perfect, you can't improve it. And 3 days later, he came back to life to prove that he really is the Messiah and the Son of the living God. And he said, "Now, if you believe in your heart, just with the humility of a small child, it doesn't matter how young or old you are, rich or poor, what country or what ethnicity, doesn't matter what you've done. If you come to me with that kind of faith, I'll forgive you, wipe the slate clean, and give you God's righteousness. My spirit will live in you to help you do my will, and then you get to be with me in heaven forever." Good news. All right, then verse 19. He says this, "So then, my beloved brethren, loved ones, dearly loved ones, the special object of the Father's affection and relationship, let every man," now here we get real practical, "be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." That one commandment right there. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry, shows me how much I need God's Spirit to empower me to do his will. Because I mean, we can maybe humanly, with a little willpower, hold our mouth shut at times, but then there are times we got to have some divine help. And to get angry in a way that even Jesus, God gets angry. Jesus was angry, but it didn't lead him to sin. That's where we have to be careful. And he tells us, because of that danger or the potential, put it away before you go to sleep. That's another one. Because sometimes, now I don't know, I'm sure y'all can't relate, but you lay in bed, and if you've been wounded or offended or hurt, you just start meditating. And the fire burns, as the psalmist said. And you get hotter and hotter. I mean, know what I'm talking about. So we need God's help, but the good news is he's available and he will help us. So let me go on verse 21. Therefore, because of what he just wrote, that truth, he says, lay aside. Would you say lay aside?
Lay aside.
Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Now, those phrases are also translated, get rid of all excess, get rid of all that remains of wickedness. In other words, whatever we bring into our salvation experience, if it's wicked, we've got to get rid of that. Another translation says to rid yourselves of the evil that is so prevalent. We live in a world that is so prevalent with evil, and it's a constant battle. But so we have to continually cleanse ourselves. I believe it's wise to regularly examine our heart and make sure we have nothing that would hinder the seed of God's word from taking root in our heart and then bearing fruit. That's what he goes on to say in that verse. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness or humility. We can't arrogantly receive God's word. We receive it humbly, and it's called the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Real quick, let me give you a couple, just try to make it simple definitions. The word save is a Greek word that means rescue, deliver, and heal. So to rescue, deliver, and heal. And then the word soul is the Greek word psyche. It can refer to our just the life, the immaterial part of a person, not the body, but the soul. And it can refer to our mind and our heart. So our emotions and thoughts. So this scripture says if we will remove any hindrance and barrier, we can right now receive the word of God, the seed that will go into our heart and that can produce freedom and healing in our thoughts, our mind, our memory, and our heart and our emotions. That's the power of the word of God. It's a living and powerful, and blessed are the word doers. So it comes in, but it takes root if we allow it. This is where it's so important to guard that word when we get it and think on it and meditate on it and get it deeply rooted in us. And I'll just share this real quick, because if you were to ask me, well, are you saved? I would say yes. And that's true. I have been rescued. I've been forgiven of my sins. And I can say, the Lord saved my soul. I remember years ago being in a church, and we used to have Sunday night testimony time. And a brother was sitting in the back. He was like a greeter. He worked at a sawmill, so he had a hard time hearing. And he would have some coins in his, like little change in his pocket. And he would sit back there, and his name was Brother Meese. And he would go, during the service. And he probably couldn't even hear it. And when came time for testimonies, if no one else stood up, Brother Meese would stand up. And he said, I just got to thank the Lord for saving my soul. And that's true. But it's not just for saving my soul one day. It will be complete one day because it's in the process right now. And that word can save my soul when I'm hurting and when I'm confused and doubting and when my heart is broken. It has the power to save, to heal, to deliver, to rescue, not just from hell one day, but from what I might be going through right now. So my heart and my emotions and ultimately, if I can experience the wellness of Christ, it will help me in every other area of my life. So blessed are the word doers. And then let me move on. Verse 22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Would you please read those words off the screen with me so we'll be on the same translation? Let's read it together. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And then he goes on, verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. That's, to me, is an interesting phrase. The word of God is a mirror, and it will show us areas in our lives that are not like Christ, not to condemn us, but to show us where we need to grow. But I love this too. The mirror of the word will show us who we really are in Christ. And then he'll say, now you come on up and live to this high and holy calling that I have on you. So it's both. It'll show me where I need to grow, but it also tells me who I am so I can live it out. That's the power of the word of God. Blessed are the word doers. Would you say that with me? Blessed are the word doers. Now, let me give you, I believe, three ways that it will help us become doers of God's word if you want to write them down. And before I do, I want to make this clear, because remember, blessed means not that everything in life goes my way, but it does mean I can receive God's favor, and I can even have the emotions going along with God's favor. And I can tell you this, from maybe doing a little bit of both, I would rather have God's favor for every battle, every test, every trial, every failure, every defeat, and every loss than to experience all of those things that come with life without his grace, without his presence, and without his favor. That's what it means. So we can be blessed even through it all because God's favor is on us. Man, that's so important. So blessed are the word doers. Number one, I believe this will help us be word doers. It's found in Philippians chapter 4. We'll look at the verses in a moment. Let me just tell you what it is. It's dwell on it. Want to be a doer of God's word? We've got to dwell on it. And we'll look at the verses to bear that out. Again, it's three of them. Dwell on it. And I'll just tell you up front, declare it and share it. It will help us be word doers. But dwell on it. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Years ago, I memorized a scripture. It's in Joshua chapter 1. It's verses 6 and 7 talking about being strong and courageous. Verse 9 says, be strong and courageous. I'm with you wherever you go. But verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may learn to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So I learned that verse because I want to live it out. Doing God's word is linked to meditating on God's word. That's throughout the scripture. That's why James said, if you not just look at the word and forget it, but if you continue in this law of liberty and you do what it says, you'll be blessed in what you do. You'll experience God's favor. So to do God's word is linked to meditating on it. Now, I'm not talking about sticking our head in the sand and, being unrealistic. We can be informed and we can be realistic, but at the same time, this scripture in Philippians is translated this way. We can think about it, we can meditate on it, and we can dwell on God's word. And if we will do that, it will help us live it out, and we will be so much better off than dwelling on a lot of other stuff that we could dwell on. Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, let me back up. Be anxious for nothing. Talk about needing the Lord's help to empower us, but he's available. We don't have to allow it to dominate us. We'll feel it, but it doesn't have to control us. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's the key. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God. Would you say the peace of God? Peace of God. which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God's peace is a priceless treasure to me. I want to read verses 8 and 9 in the Christian Standard Bible. The words are on the screen. It says it like this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, and he's going to give us 8 virtues, whatever is honorable, just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. Dwell on these virtues. I'm telling you, if we will do this, it will give us wellness in our spirit. It will promote wellness in our minds, in our thoughts, in our emotions, and I believe even our bodies. If we will, because we can do the opposite, and we can meditate on and dwell on whatever it is in a way that could actually be detrimental to our emotions and our health if we do it long enough. So that's why I'm saying to dwell on it. And then verse 9, let me read verse 9 too. It says, do. Would you say do? So again, dwell on it so you can do it. Verse 9, do what you've learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Notice how it started off there. The peace of God and the God of peace. This is God's prescription for peace. And if we want it, we got to do what it says in between. We've got to dwell on what God said dwell on and bring our requests with thanksgiving to him. So to do God's word. Second, would you turn now to the book of Psalms, Psalms 145. So to be doers of God's word, we have to dwell on it, declare it, and share it. I'll raise the temperature up a little bit. I don't want anyone freezing. I'm wearing my shirt and tie today. So do God's word. Dwell on it, declare it, share it. Would you say it with me? Dwell on it, declare it, share it. The Bible says this. We open with this psalm this morning, Psalm 145, beginning in verse 2. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name. How long? Forever and ever. Verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. So he says, I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to bless him. I'm going to praise him. And it's not just for time. I'm going to do that forever because he is great and greatly to be praised. Verse 4, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare. Would you say declare? Declare, declare your mighty, your mighty acts. Verse 5, I will, and here we go again, I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. And then verse 6, men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. See that? Declare, meditate, declare. And it's not just up to someone else. I hope they do it, but I'm going to do it if no one else does. So it's not, I'm dwelling on God's word. And we will fall short of really fulfilling the scripture what meditation means, because meditate is not just a mental exercise. In the scripture, it means mind and mouth working together. It's thinking and declaring or confessing. So to declare it means to make it known or affirm. So when I declare God's word, I might be making it known to someone, but I'm also affirming it in my own heart to say, I believe this about God, and I'm declaring it because I believe it's true. And I believe what he said about me. I remember, Brother Smitty, you remember Edwin Lewis Cole years ago. He used to say, we're committed to what we confess. So if we're not committed, we won't always want to speak it and confess it. But if we are committed, we'll confess it. I'm going to declare it. I'm going to declare it back to God, because I'm going to praise him. I'm going to declare it if anyone else wants to hear, but I'm going to declare it mainly to myself, because that's watering that seed that I need to save my soul. Y'all know what I'm saying? All right. So blessed are the word doers. Dwell on it and declare it. Now, David wrote this psalm, and David, man, you read through the psalms he wrote. He poured out his heart to God. He poured out his heart about enemy he faced, every battle, every trial, every hardship. He poured out his questions to God. He poured it all out about his failures, but he did not stop there. He didn't drown in that quicksand, because that's what it can be. I want to help people when, if someone's in that, I want to care enough to try to offer a helping hand, and I want to be empathetic and compassionate, but I don't want to fall in the quicksand with anyone. I want to stay out myself. I'd rather try to help someone out than me to fall in. So to declare God's word then, he didn't park there, as Brother Mark says, but he declared God's greatness. He declared God's love, his power, his present faithfulness, and his blessings forever. And that's how he was a doer ultimately of the word, and how he was blessed. So blessed are the word doers. Dwell on it, declare it, and then finally share it. So dwell on it, declare it, and share it. And you can just stay there if you want. I'll read the scriptures to you from Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Romans chapter 1, verse 11 says this. This apostle is writing to the church. He says, I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. Then verse 12, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Here is an apostle of Jesus, and he's saying, I need your faith just like you need mine. See, we're in this together. And it's not just, I mean, we can come together and talk about anything and everything but God and his word and what is virtuous and truth. And there's nothing wrong with talking about the weather, the ball games, politics, if you don't dwell on it too much. But what about as believers, we get together and we also declare, we share. And I was reading the Bible this week, and I just really sensed God put this in my heart, and I just wanted to share it with someone. And just like maybe somewhere out in public, maybe it's not even, maybe someone is not a Christian, but we can share God's word in a way that might be a testimony to them, might be a witness to them. We can be out in the hospital or at the pool and share a prayer with someone and pray God's word. So when we declare it and share it, when we share it, it's someone else. And we're sharing it to fellowship with another brother or sister, or maybe we're sharing it to be ministry to someone. Either way, it's how God uses that to encourage us, and he uses it to deepen and reinforce that truth in our own heart. Because we're all gonna be tempted when we, probably maybe before we step out of the doors, because the Bible says, Jesus said, Satan comes immediately to try to steal that word out of our heart. He's gonna try to steal that seed, that blessed are the word doers, so guard it. But how we meditate on it, dwell on it, declare it and share it, that's how we get it rooted in us. And it might be later on in the week. Whenever it is, please don't let it just go away. Ultimately, we wanna share in a way that helps us to live it out and encourage others to live it out too. Because it's not just enough to learn the word, it's not just enough to hear the word, unless we just want to hear it and learn it for intellect. But if we want to be blessed, blessed are the word doers, we got to live it out. So to dwell on it, declare it, and then share it. And I'll close with this. Because the fact of the matter is, we all dwell on, declare, and share something constantly. I guess the real question and issue is what I'm dwelling on, declaring, and sharing helpful to someone? Again, it's fine to be honest. You don't have to put on a show. Pour your heart, be honest, be real. But if we stop there, we didn't go far enough. That's all. And maybe it could be something as simple as saying, I'm really going through a battle. I feel like I failed. I'm hurting. I'm confused. I believe God is with me, but right now I just need help. And maybe we come alongside and give a word or comfort in scripture and pray with them. Isn't that still, that's helping them and us. So again, is it helpful? And if not, then I would just, maybe this is a question for all of us. Will you just ask God to help you? I mean, then let's believe him. Let's ask him to help us dwell on what he wants us to dwell on and to declare it, to believe it to the point that we declare it because we're committed to it, and then to share it as he gives us opportunities. Can we close in prayer? Blessed are the word doers. I know you want to live in the fullness of God's blessing. I do too. And it's available to us. We just have to be willing to do our part. God has given us the path. We just need to follow it. Father, thank you for your great love. Thank you for the good news. Thank you for truth. Lord, help us today. Maybe there's some really just feeling defeated and discouraged and down. I don't know. But Lord, wherever we are in our walk with you, I just ask, would you just meet us? And we come to you in need, but we also come to you in faith and say, Lord, will you help me? I need help to focus my mind, to dwell on what you want me to dwell on. I want to exercise my faith and my mind and my spirit to grow stronger in you. And Lord, I pray that you would help me to not only dwell on, help me to declare it. And then as you give me opportunity, help me to share it in a way that would be a blessing to someone else. We do thank you, Lord, this morning that you love us and you want to bless us. Help us to follow your path and walk in that fullness. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we stand together as we just have this closing song? And if you feel like you need to do a little business with God, maybe just to get something off your chest, just to maybe make a fresh commitment. Isn't the Christian walk all about that anyway? Kind of daily, making a fresh commitment to be with the Lord, to follow him and his will. So why don't we just take a moment right now and just between your Father who loves you so much and your heart, would you just receive his love and forgiveness and grace right now and just ask him to help?